as a top-level exercise professional, doesn't that sound good? Do you think it's possible that you'll be asked to train at some stage in your career, elite athletes, sporting teams, sports people, people who want to play a sport, people who want to get involved in some kind of athletic pursuit, whether it's to win or to play or just to compete or just to participate? And the answer is most likely yes. So as an exercise professional, what is our responsibility? How much do we need to know about each person's sport so that we can make sure that whatever their goal is, whether they want to win, participate, be competitive, finish in the top 10, finish as the world champion or the local champion, that we give them every opportunity to achieve their goal? And can you imagine what that's like as an exercise professional, that your athlete achieves the goal that they shared with you and you're there on the finish line or watching them on stage clapping and cheering and you've helped them achieve that goal? And it's one of the really awesome parts of being an exercise professional. I've got goosebumps sharing it with you. So one of the big questions that I've always asked as an exercise professional, if I'm going to train elite athletes or I've got clients that want to play a sport, what are the things that would stop them from playing their sport, from competing, from being able to rock up to the start line and or being able to finish the activity, finish the game, finish the athletic pursuit? And I think it's a really important question for us to ask as exercise professionals, because obviously we want to make sure that we take all the barriers away so that our client can do the thing that they want to do. So what are the things that could stop them? And if an athlete is, for example, injured, or they're not fit enough, or they're not strong enough, they're not flexible enough for whatever they want to compete in, what will then happen to their mental headspace? So they're rocked up for the game, they've rocked up for the competition, and they know inside their headspace that they're either carrying an injury or they've got sore joints or there's something wrong with their body, and or they know that they're not fit enough or strong enough. And it's pretty safe to say that none of us would compete at our best if we knew any of those things. If you rock up to run, if you rock up to play, and you know that you're not as fit and strong as you should be, that your body's not functioning as well as it should be, then it's very difficult to have strong mental toughness. And that's an interesting, when you go back to the first question, which is what are the things that will stop my athlete from performing at their best? Is it possible that obviously if they're injured, they can't perform at their best? Is it possible that if they're not fit enough for that particular activity, no, they won't perform at their best? If they're not strong enough for that particular activity, they won't perform at their best? If they need to be flexible and they're not flexible enough, they won't perform at their best, which then means their mental strength won't be at its best, which means it's going to be very difficult to compete. So if you go back to what are the things that will stop my athlete, we certainly want their headspace to be in the right place. So as an exercise professional, is it our responsibility to train our athletes to be skilled at their sport, or is it our role to make sure that they are as fit and strong, as flexible as possible, so that they can compete at their very best? And there may be some kind of argument there, because the skill of the sport usually is the responsibility of the person's skills coach, of their footy coach, of their running coach, of their swimming coach, of their Spartan racing coach, of their CrossFit coach. Doesn't matter what sport a person competes in, the actual skill of doing the sport, unless you are really skilled at that particular activity or that particular sport, then it's unlikely that we're going to be able to show people how to play tennis, swim, lift a weight effectively for powerlifting, show them how to ride a bike, because that's the job of the skills coach. So it's one of those great headspaces that I achieved really early in my career. I don't have to know about each person's sport. That isn't my responsibility. What I need to do is make sure that my athlete, my client, my sports person is as fit and strong and flexible as they possibly can be. And when you go to the communication of how do I communicate effectively with an elite athlete or a sports person or somebody who wants to compete in a sport, of course you're going to be asking them, why did you get involved in this sport? Why is this your particular sport? And how long have you been involved in it for? And they will know more about their sport than you ever will, particularly if you've never done it before. So for me, it was a really exciting thing, because I knew then that I didn't need to teach somebody how to swim or to play golf or to do lawn bowling, what I needed to do is to make sure that they were fit, strong and flexible enough to be able to go and do their sport. So it's not my role, and it may not be yours either, to show somebody how to do their sport. It's just how to be as fit, strong and flexible as possible. So here's a great question. If an athlete is as fit and strong and flexible as possible for their sport, are they then more likely to be able to train for that skill? So if they have to train for rugby league, which is a very tough sport, if they have to train for boxing, if they have to train for CrossFit, if they have to train for Spartan racing, if they have to train to run a marathon, if they are fit and strong, their body is their muscles, their bones, their headspace is as fit and strong as possible, is it more likely then that they'll actually be able to train more effectively for the skill of their sport? And again, very exciting for me because, again, I've trained lots of different athletes in multiple different sports, and I didn't need to get them even fit enough and strong enough to train for rugby league. I'll rephrase that. My only goal was to make sure that they were fit and strong enough. When they went to rugby league training, they had to do the skills training and the fitness training involved for rugby league. But I just made sure that their body was as physically strong and as physically fit as possible so that when they went to training for whatever sport they played, that they were capable of actually training for the sport, let alone going to compete in the sport. And obviously, as an exercise professional, you want to make sure that your athlete is totally and completely prepared for the day of their sporting activity, their competition, or playing their game. So, as an exercise professional, do I want to take time away then from my athlete, my client, my sportsperson's skill training or their sport? Or do I want to give them an exercise program that is so time effective that they can invest the most time learning to get better at their sport? And again, a great thing I learned earlier on is that I don't want to take up hours and hours of my athlete's time in the gym doing an exercise program to get them fit and strong. I just want to make sure that they're as fit and strong as possible, and then they can go and practice their sport. And that's where people get better. If I want to get better at basketball, I've got to shoot hoops and I've got to play basketball. If I want to get better at boxing, I've got to go and practice the drills for boxing. If I want to get better at jumping over Spartan obstacles, I have to go and practice those. But I have to have a fit, strong body to be able to do that, and I don't want to take up people's time getting them fit and strong when they need to be out practicing their skill. So once again, it's a great question to ask. Do you want to waste their time training them for fitness and strength when they should be out training for skill or for the skill of doing their sport? Then, of course, there's that big question. As an exercise professional, what is my number one rule? And we all should know it verbatim. I will never injure my client. I'll never hurt my client. So here becomes now a very interesting process. As an exercise professional, if I'm committed to never hurting my athlete, my client, my sports person, would I ever give them an exercise or an exercise program that could hurt them or injure them while they are training to be fitter and stronger? Now, it's very likely that if they're boxing or playing rugby league or doing CrossFit or running out in the bush, that they're going to get injured. There's a very high chance of that. And all athletes take that risk on board. And a lot of them even enjoy it. That's what they love about their sport. But if I'm committed to never hurting my client, then I certainly don't want to injure them in their training sessions while I'm aiming to get them fitter and stronger, because I never want to risk them not being able to go and play their sport. There's enough risk in most people's sport to not have to put that into the exercise program or the gym program. And I certainly don't want to injure them for the future. So I never want to give my athlete an exercise that would hurt their joints so they can't do their sport in the future. And I'm asking you that same question. Would you ever want to do that? If somebody wants to keep running, keep boxing, keep playing their team sport for the rest of their life, I'm sure that you wouldn't want to be responsible for hurting any of their joints, which would stop them from doing that sport in the future. So I took on a great responsibility of, I will never injure or hurt my client. I'm just going to get them fitter and stronger. So what kind of exercises would I choose? to make sure that this person can be as fit and strong and flexible as possible, but there's as little risk as possible that they would get injured, so they can actually go and do their sport fit and strong and injury free. Because remember that first question, which is what are the things that stop athletes from competing at their best performance or at their highest level? And yes, it's injury, and yes, it's not being fit enough, not being strong enough, and not being mentally tough enough. So it's a really interesting circle. So what exercises would I choose for my athlete? Would they be safe or unsafe? Would they be time effective or time wasting? Would they be exercises that get them as fit and strong as possible in the safest way, in the safest position possible, so they can play their sport with less risk? Or do I risk injuring my athlete in the gym with a program or exercises or some form of activity trying to replicate their sport? And that's what most people do. They try and replicate the sport of their athlete in the exercise program or in the gym. And here's a great question: where am I going to get better at my sport? If I want to be really good at rugby league, is that going to happen by being out on the rugby league field and practicing my skills? Or is it going to be in the gym throwing a weight that may or may not weigh the same as the ball? And I see a lot of that going on in the gym, where whatever ball sport I play, or whether I'm a swimmer or a golfer, and we start getting people to move weights around in the same way that they would in their sport. And interestingly, most sports, doesn't matter which one you look at, where you've got something in your hand and you've got to move it, or if you're just moving your body on a regular basis, which of course is then all sports, you've now got injuries. So tennis players get sore shoulders and they get tennis elbow. Golfers obviously get golfer's elbow and sore backs and sore knees. Netballers get sore backs and sore knees. Football players get sore everything. Their sport will damage their joints. So why then, and here's a great question, and I've been asking this question my entire career because somebody forced me to answer the question when I was very early on in my career. Why would I risk injuring my client, my sports person, my athlete, in the gym with an exercise trying to replicate their dangerous sport? So now I've got a double dangerous. I'm training them dangerously and they've got a dangerous sport. So I took that question on board, and I'm asking you as an exercise professional to give it some really serious thought. Would you ever want to do something in your exercise program, in your exercise selection at the gym, that had the risk of injuring your client so they couldn't go out and play their sport? And I just made the decision that that answer was no. And all I was ever going to do when I trained any form of athlete, sports person, person who wanted to compete in a sport, is to make sure they were as fit and strong and flexible as possible, so that their dangerous sport, the risk of their sport, was at the lowest risk possible, because if they got hit or hurt, their body was strong and might be able to withstand that injury. The other really important questions, of course, and every athlete has the right to ask you this question, every sports person, every client, every football coach, every physiotherapist, every chiropractor, every medical professional, every single person that comes into your life, if you are suggesting an exercise program, an exercise, any form of training, and I'll go even further, any form of eating, every person has the right to ask you, why are we doing this? And how does it work? And as an exercise professional, could it be irresponsible if we don't know the answers to those questions? Or worse, we're just repeating or regurgitating, I'd call it vomiting, another person's opinion without really understanding why and how for ourselves. So if you're getting people to throw weights around in the gym to try and replicate a sport, you'd have to be able to answer that question: why are we doing this? And how does it work? And I would really, really like you as an exercise professional to consider the answers to both of those questions, particularly if you have taken on the mantra, the number one rule of an exercise professional, which is I will never injure my client. And if I'm throwing weights around, or if I'm doing exercises that put shearing forces across somebody's joints, or if I'm doing something with speed and rotation, or if it's too heavy, or any of the things that would hurt the human body, how could I justify that as an exercise professional, whether I'm giving that to an elite athlete, a sports person, a child, a mother, or my gym member? Why would I do that? And obviously, if our goal is to help people achieve their goals, then we want to make sure that they can, yes, achieve the goal, but keep achieving goals because they've got a fit, strong, healthy body that doesn't have sore joints. And as we know, if you put shearing forces across a joint, there's every chance that joint's going to get injured in the short term or the long term. If you give somebody a waste of time exercise, that means you're taking time away from their skills training, so they may not be as good at their sport simply because you're wasting their time in the gym, where they could be spending 10, 20 minutes in the gym and then go out and do their skills training and be able to invest more time doing that. So once again, please ask yourself the question, do I want my athlete to achieve their goal? What are the things that would stop them from achieving their goal? And I never want to be the person that would give them any of those things. So I never want to injure my client. I never want to have them start their competition without knowing 100% in their headspace that they're fit enough and strong enough and that body is flexible enough to withstand the risk of their sport. So please consider the goal of your client, the outcome of the exercise that you give them, and surely the two would match, that you would give somebody an exercise program that would give them the healthy, fit, strong, flexible body so they can go and play their sport safely, knowing that their body is in peak physical condition and would be able to handle any of the risks of their sport. Let's not give them risks when they train.